Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, my name is Daryl Ong, and you're tuning into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. This week, we're going to talk about Pokemon Go, the cultural phenomenon that's taking over the world with many Malaysian gamers awaiting its release in Malaysia. It marks the start of a new Pokemon era from video games, where the game is credited in opening its doors to augmented reality gaming, where instead of being what most parents fear, the stigma of it being antisocial and insular doesn't really apply to this game, where players are forced to go out to the real world to progress in the game. Capitalizing on the smartphone's GPS technology, Pokemon Go has been met with great reviews, but there's always two sides to a coin where no question it will be a great game, the competitive spirit of the game has led to many untoward incidences. To get a feel of what to come, I spoke to two of the three active Pokemon professors certified by Pokemon International, two men who were in this Pokemon world before the Pokemon Go madness. Here's Lim Sun Kiat and Wilson Chong.
I was into Pokemon since I was a kid. I've been into the fandom since 1996. So I started with the very first games, which is Pokemon Red and Blue.
And that time it was played on a colorless Game Boy,
right? Yes, colorless Game Boy, the really big ones. Yeah. The one that uses four AA batteries. And my love grew from the trading card game. So I became a competitive player in trading card games and I won a bit of tournaments.
Oh, wow.
But after that, I feel that my passion is more towards helping people. So I became a professor.
And yourself?
I'm quite similar to Wilson, but that time I'm using a computer player to play. And I think by primary six, I managed to, you know, influence my mother to buy an actual console for me. Nice. But that time the console doesn't even have a backlight, so I got scolded.
Okay.
Because of playing that game so much, but my love for Pokemon grew from there, and now I'm a professor.
Yeah, so I have two professors here, you know, but one is in the trading card game side, right?
Yep.
And you're more on the video game side.
Yep.
And I just found out, maybe before we came to the studio, that the trading card game is doing a whole lot better than the video game.
Oh, it is. Sales has been going up since the, currently the release of Pokemon Go. So sales has been better for trading card games.
As a Pokemon professor, what is required of you?
We actually need to be very proactive engaging the community, talk with them and see how do they feel about the games and the card games in general. From there, we try to organize the events. Usually it will be a tournament, which is officially supported by Nintendo. Okay, so we do it once every 2 months, I think.
Yeah, actually, from the Pokemon Company side, we have a timeline to do video game tournaments. So the season usually would start from September, because August would be the World Championships. Okay. So large tournaments would be somewhere middle of, I would say, December. And it can last all the way up to May. The largest tournaments for both the trading card games and also video games are usually held in the month of April and May.
And you were talking about the championships, right?
Yes, that's right.
Where is that usually held at?
Yeah, San Francisco. It would be from the 19th to the 21st of this month. So I'm very sure players will have a great time there.
Yeah, of course. Do we get to send a lot of players abroad?
Yeah, this year for video games, I actually have achieved my own personal dream. For the year 2015, I managed to send one person. But for this year, we have 7 players representing Malaysia in the Pokemon Video Game Championship. So I hope they do well. And of course, the most important thing, have fun and make lots of friends.
Just taking us back in time, right? You were talking about playing Game Boys without any backlight. You know, it ruins your eyes. My first ventures into Pokemon was on the Game Boy Color, and I played Red, Yellow, the classics, right? And then I kind of lost interest, as you know, as one grow older. Seeing you guys coming in and then telling me more about, you know, the latest versions that I'm coming up, I feel so nostalgic, but at the same time, very alienated. I'm like, wow, there must be like hundreds of Pokemons I've not known yet, you know, since back then. And that's just crazy to think that it's just a ever-evolving world.
It's great that the Pokemon Go actually bring back those players who have long, you know, long out
yeah.
in touch from Pokemon. So yeah. they can actually rediscover back Pokemon. Like you say, you are feeling nostalgic because of Pokemon Go as well. So I think Pokemon Go is very is good in you know bringing back those old players and also new players who just.
For me, I've never thought that I'll go back to Pokemon until I actually read about Pokemon Go, and I'm like, I'm on. You know, why not? You know, a game that makes me go out and actually play the game while walking. It's kind of cool. We'll touch on Pokemon Go a bit later, but maybe you can just bring me through, you know, your daily responsibilities, or in that sense, you know, on tournament day, what are your job requirements?
Because my job covers everything from before organizing a tournament and also after. So before organizing a tournament, I'm actually coordinating all the manpower needed that it's required to run the tournament smoothly, and I'll also select the venues, and also I'll try to find sponsors to sponsor prizes for our tournaments. During the tournament, I'm more of one who's doing admin work.
Okay.
So I input scores to my computer and send this to the Pokemon database. And if there's any problems, usually I'm the one to go to in terms of judging and rulings. For Soon Kit, he's actually a judge. So anything which he's not able to settle on himself, he would have to escalate to me. But usually, he does a very good job.
Yeah, because usually when we're judging, a few judge opinion is better than one judge.
We are supported by our official distributor called Maxsoft.
Okay.
So usually they would send some form of support. So Maxsoft, I'm really thank you for whatever you sent to us. And also from the... But of course, I have to send them the reports of what we are doing. And so far, they have been very supportive of all of our initiatives. And besides Maxsoft, there are also the sponsors from other vendors as well. For example, for Plush Toys, I can ask a girl called Audrey Gunn. She would be more than happy to sponsor Plush Toys for me as prizes for my tournaments. Well, sometimes I fly to Japan myself to buy prizes as well.
Wow, okay. So a lot of effort, you have to have, you know, effort and determination to become a professor. And on top of that, you guys have full-time jobs as well. So there are only three active professors currently in Malaysia. Why do you think there's so little? Is it hard to become a professor?
I would like to say it's not that hard, but you have to be very, very committed. You have to be very engaging. You have to be very proactive. Like you have to be keep on talking with the community to see what they're thinking. You have to keep in touch with the sponsors, with the official distributors, with Nintendo. Yeah, you have to be committed. Instead of hard, I would say it's not hard, but you have to be committed.
The exam is actually not very hard. I think a lot of people can pass it. Over the years, there were a lot of players who became professors. I would say the truly dedicated ones, there are only a few of us who are just so engaging, keep talking to the community. Yeah, there's only a couple handful of us, and it's usually the same people.
Same faces.
Yeah, same faces.
So there's an exam involved. Where do you go for these exams? You know, is it proper, like an exam hall kind of thing?
Oh, no. It's online.
It's online, yeah.
If for anyone interested, you can log on to Pokemon.com and click to be a professor. Actually, if you are the age of 18 and above, you can take the test. It's multiple choice and all the best.
Hey, who knows, you might walk out being a professor. But you know, after that, is there any other test to kind of qualify you to be a professor, or is that it?
All right, there are three kinds of professors. One of them is being an organizer, and another two, which is divided to the type of judge. There's one for TCG, the trading card game, and also for VG. So people would take the test and choose what they want to be. So for example, I take the test, and then if I choose to be a organizer, I'll take the organizer test. Whereas for being a trading card game or a video game judge, I would take the test based on what I want to take. So if I want to be a trading card game judge, there's actually a separate test for that.
Okay, so you get to choose, lah.
Yes, you
can choose. And is the exam hard? Anyway,
well, I've been.
You have to know, lah. You have to know your stuff.
Yeah, you have to know your stuff. So, we need to take these exams every year to renew our certificate.
Oh wow! Okay.
Because the Pokemon Company, they really want professors who know their stuff, and they want people who are updated. So they actually get us to take the exams every year.
Let's move on to the cultural phenomenon that's taking over the world right now. The augmented reality game Pokemon Go, the new era of Pokemon games. Read about it. I've told you guys that I felt so nostalgic reading about it. What do you feel about Pokemon Go? Do you think it's here to stay? Do you think it's just a passing trend?
Initially, when it was announced, I am afraid that this game will be just another trend where people maybe they will play like 1-2 months, then just forget about it. But
because it happens a lot, right?
Yeah.
Especially in new games.
Yes, especially in new game. Yeah, but as I talk with the community, with the players who already played the game, and with somebody, with someone else, some group which haven't played the game, they say that, oh, this game is bringing back all the nostalgia. It's, for some, it's like a continuation of the older games. They say they will stick to the game for quite a bit long time.
Do you think that the possibility of card game people would be able to jump into this?
Of course. I have seen a lot of trading card game players and also video game players. They have been very hyped up about Pokemon Go. I mean, for myself as a first generation player, I started with these Pokemon, and the idea of me being able to catch them in the real world really struck a tone in me. So it's like, wow, I am able to do what I want to do when I was a kid. I'm able to catch Pokemon physically.
Okay. Just for the uninitiated that are listening in right now, can you just very briefly take us through how is it different? What's the game about?
So for Pokemon Go, players, they have an account in Google. These Pokemon, they appear in real time in maps and literally anywhere around the world. So players will have to walk around to actually catch them. So the fun of walking around to catch these Pokemon is actually what is making people interested.
You're actually going outside to
yes,
play a game.
Yes, actually going outside. So
parents all around the world rejoice.
Yes, I heard good stories about children with ASD or Autism Spectrum Disorder. They are actually talking to other kids and sharing knowledge and communicating, because people with ASD, they have struggles to communicate. So seeing that child talking to others, it's a blessing for them.
Compared to the main game, the concept of playing is quite different.
Okay.
In the main game, you actually have to battle.
Yeah.
You have to weaken the Pokemon before you can catch it. But in Pokemon Go, it's more easier. It's like a kind of casual game where you just throw Pokeballs into the Pokemon and hope it, you know, it stay. Because of this factor of easiness factor, I think because of this, more casual players are more, it is more engaging to them compared to the main game. Where
yeah, I guess the learning curve is also very easy,
very
right?
Easy.
Pokemon Go is a totally visual thing with a very real impact in the physical world. It's very intriguing, but at the same time, it's so scary of what, you know, the potential this game has. Do you think that we are taking a peek into the future of gaming with augmented reality?
I would say that Pokemon Go is the very first and the most advanced game that actually have this augmented reality, where you actually combine virtual character into your real reality, to say it. I don't see any other games that actually provide this
kind of concept.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. But do you think that in the future we'll see more games coming out this kind of concept?
I believe so, because Pokemon Go is popular. I believe there are so many other developers trying to do the same thing with augmented reality.
Augmented reality. Because augmented reality is special because it sort of mixes the elements that what we have in the physical world and also the virtual world.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's what make AR special compared to virtual reality, where the player totally immerses himself into
world.
A different world, whereas AR is... It's a mix and balance.
Okay. It's a combination of reality and some virtual characters.
Yeah, that's right.
So, final word is that Pokemon Go is here to stay.
Yes.
I believe so.
All right, you heard it here first. And we wait the impending launch.
Well, Niantic has commented that the current Pokemon Go is only 10% of what they envision and what they want to realize it.
Wow.
So this
is 10%.
Yeah, if 10% can garner so much hype, imagine what the rest of the 90% would do. So I would say that it's here to stay for a long while.
All right. Till it comes, you guys are going to organize lots of events, you know, upcoming in the next couple of months or so. Can you tell me a bit about that?
For myself, there are a couple of sponsors who are interested to organize. To organize Pokemon events, Pokemon Go events to be exact, with me. However, since the game is not launched in Malaysia yet, I would prefer not to say too much about it.
Yeah, sure.
So until things are more confirmed, then we'll be spreading the word.
That was Lim Soon Kiat and Wilson Chong. To find out more about them and their efforts, do head over to facebook.com/PokemonGoMalaysia. My name is Daryl Ong. Coming up, we preview the exciting events happening in this month of August. Do stay tuned. This is I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong. You're tuned in to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. And as of every first week of the month, we bring you closer to the events of our capital city. And joining me as ever is the excellent Of New Thing. Welcome.
What's good?
Everything's good. So August, obviously, you know, we have a major celebration there, our Independence Day. But also with that, we have a whole bunch of music events. We have some art and workshops as well. Very exciting. And yeah, let's bring you through it. Ofnia, what's the first thing up?
Let's start with one from Fred Perry. So Fred Perry is having a music event called Subculture Live. It will be happening at the OCBC Bank at Medan Pasar, Petaling Street. It's happening tonight at 8 p.m. and entry is free, but it's quite limited. So it's first come, first serve. There will be some performances from local electronic duo Juno and Hana, as well as a DJ set featuring Friendly Fires drummer Jack Savage.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, he's in town.
Yeah, he's in town. So cool. Pretty interesting. So if you have nothing to do tonight, head over to Medan Pasar, OCBC Bank, 8 p.m.
And also, if you've never been to a gig at the bank before, that should be something else.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. Anyway, if you're not fans of banks or music, but you're fans of apps as well, mobile apps in particular, there'll be the hands-on money-making mobile apps workshop happening August 10th next week. This workshop basically would teach you how to create up and running mobile apps in your smartphone. It's quite rare. It normally costs about 400 plus per session, but it's free for next week, Wednesday, August the 10th from 3 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's easy, no program knowledge required. All you need is a smartphone or tablet and a laptop. It's going to be held at the Mobile Apps Workshop in Desa Melawati. For more information about that, do head over to facebook.com/ Mobile Apps Workshop.
And as we said previously, there's a lot of stuff happening tonight.
Yeah.
But first of all, are you a Jay Chou fan, Daryl?
I'm indifferent. My late dad used to listen to a lot of Jay Chou.
So you didn't grow up in like in primary school, high school with like a Jay Chou song?
Not really. But I do know a couple of his tunes. Yeah. And I do try to belt it out in the bathroom, but yeah, very privately.
I mean, for the rest of us, Jay Chou holds a lot of dear memories.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Know, growing up, you know, for like sure. Chasing girls and stuff like that. You know, you memorize Jay Chou songs. So maybe that's just me.
Maybe that's just you.
That's, yeah. That's just me. But anyway, Jay Chou will be in KL tonight at 8 p.m. at Stadium Merdeka. He has a space and ocean theme going on for his stage set. And you know, Jay Chou being a performer for so many years, I'm sure he won't disappoint. He won't skimp on stage light. So I think it's one to really look forward to. If you would like to try to get your hands on the tickets for tonight, you can head over to ticketcharge.my. Yeah, Jay Chou.
Cool beans. I mean, one of the hallmarks of a star that has made it is if you're on The Voice, right?
Was he on The Voice?
Yeah, he's in the Taiwanese version of The Voice.
He was one of the judges.
Yeah, he's one of the judges. So
there you go.
There you go.
Jay Chou.
A legend in his own right. And another thing you can go to this weekend is a play. And if you're particularly a fan of William Shakespeare, you can head over to this play called Tragedy Hamlet. It's directed by theatre icon Dato' Faridah Marikan, as adapted by Ahmad Yatim. Basically, it tells the story of a prince consumed by anger at his father's murder. The question is, will he seek revenge? Find out if he will today and tomorrow. Two showings at 10:30 a.m. which happened this morning. So you can head over to the 8:30 one, which is happening in a couple of hours' time. Do head over to KL PAX portal to find out more information on this very interesting play.
On switch but no off, I own it cause of Rolling Stone gathers no moss. I sense that I should censor all the visceral thoughts. Food for thought, lick the plate at no additional cost.
Tonight, there's no shortage of music events in KL.
It seems like everything is happening this weekend.
Yeah, there's the Fred Perry event where you have like electronic music. There's a Jay Chou event where you can get Chinese music. And there's also a hip-hop event. So New York-based rapper Homeboy Sandman will be in KL tonight at a play space in Damansara. He's a Stone's Throw Records signee. He's a famous label that's home to great acts like J Dilla, Madlib, and MF Doom. So if you like those acts, well, Homeboy Sandman is up your alley. It's tonight at 9 p.m. Tickets at the door are $80. And there's only space for 150 people, so it's very limited. You gotta be quick.
Me and don't be my machine and raise on the fritz. Yeah. I know why. If I stop.
Also this month we celebrate our Merdeka Day, and with that, Colors of Malaysia is a festival that represents unity and diversity. The core values of the festival is to spread love, joy amongst the people, putting aside religion and nationality. I think it's what we all want as Malaysians. Do head over to this festival celebrating our independence. You have live music there, performance, DJs, fun games. It's going to be happening on the August the 20th at Stadium Merdeka from 4:30 to late. So it's free of charge, so just head over for a fun day of fun.
And last but not least, I'm sure everybody knows about this already, but next week is Good Vibes. The Good Vibes Festival is a two-day festival happening over the 12th and 13th of August at The Ranch, Genting Highlands. The festival sees DJ sets from Mark Ronson, Disclosure, band performances from the 1975 Two Door Cinema Club, Temper Trap, so on and so forth. There will also be an exciting lineup from the local front as well.
Yes.
There will be Seven Collar T-shirt, Toko Kilat, Mute Side Enterprise, and many more. On Wavelength, our music show that highlights Asian music, I've spoken to a few of those local bands. Today at 4 p.m. on Wavelength, we'll be speaking to instrumental math rock band Mute Side. So watch out for that one at 4 p.m. You can also head over to our podcast page, www.bfm.my/wavelength, to hear the other local acts that we spoke to.
Yeah, excitement is building and it's happening next week.
Yep.
So do grab your tickets.
The vibes will be great.
Okay, and that brings to a close our preview of the exciting events happening in this month of August. If you'd like to check out our interview we did with the Pokemon professors, do head over to www.bfm.my/ilovekl. Also, to get in touch with us, just tweet us. We are at BFM Radio. My name is Daryl Ong.
My name is Off Newting, and we're going to sign off with a tune from Seven Collar T-shirt ahead of their Good Vibes performance. So here's a tune taken from their latest album, The Great Battle, Seven Collar T-shirt with Wild Child.
Thanks for listening. You've been tuning to I Love KL. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.